We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We take you to the outer reaches of the galaxy, where sports talk doesn't quite sound like anything on this planet.
Yeah!
Into outer space, where voices echo without making any sense.
Have we been doing what?
It's mornings on the mothership.
What?
Which means it's the middle of the night somewhere.
I was just wondering, how are the Lakers doing?
Well, the season's over.
Well, that's what can happen with two root beers and seven Oreo cookies.
You better take your raincoat.
Welcome aboard the mothership.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. And a happy Championship Monday to you. The day was a great one for the Kansas City Chiefs and for the San Francisco 49ers. And if you are a Chiefs fan or a Niners fan, I know you want to weigh in today. I know that there's reason to celebrate. There's reason to speak your mind. There's reason to just be joyous today. And both of these franchises, both of these fan bases have waited a long time for Vince Lombardi Trophy. The 49ers were in the Super Bowl 7 years ago, but they haven't won a Super Bowl since the mid-90s. We're going on 25 years since Steve Young got the monkey off of his back. And for the Kansas City Chiefs, twice that, 50 years. So one of these two franchises will add a trophy case, add a trophy to their trophy case for the first time in a long time in terms of a Vince Lombardi trophy. So I know that you guys out there want to weigh in. I know, hey, if you're a Titans fan or a Packers fan, you got reason to complain. Especially Packers fan, because that game was over early. So here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. What a dominant rushing effort yesterday by the Niners. A thoroughly dominant effort. Raheem Mostert carries 29 times for 220 yards. Second only to Eric Dickerson's single season playoff record. 220 yards and four touchdowns for Mostert. And the Niners together had 285 yards on the ground. 285. That's college stuff. That's college stuff. And the Niners simply whipped the Packers at the line of scrimmage, the point of contact, every play. Every play. And it was very obvious that the Packers emotionally and mentally were taken out of this game early. I think they realized they were just getting owned at the line of scrimmage. And I hate to say that guys quit, but they just mentally checked out. Now, the offense didn't put that defense in very many good spots. The fumbles, the fumbled exchange under center, the interception all before the half. A pathetic outing by the Packers overall. But the Niners owned the line of scrimmage so dramatically. The Niners physically pounded on the Packers so dramatically that the Packers checked out. The Niners have become one of the best running teams in the NFL, not only because of the physicality on their offensive line, but also because of the play calling. Kyle Shanahan's mix and match, Shanahan's creativity, The halfback tosses, the double reverses, the men in motion, that zone blocking scheme, the tenets of that that comes from his dad. The Niners can do it all. They really can. And Mostert is a wonderful story. But I got to say that a lot of running backs could have run through those holes yesterday. Kyle Shanahan called an amazing game and has this entire season. Are the Niners the best running team in football? Well, we can't even really say that because of how dramatic the Ravens season was. The Ravens broke the record for most yards rushed in a season this year with nearly 3,300. Nobody had ever hit the 3,200 mark in a season. And the Ravens hit 3,300 yards this season. So the Ravens technically are the best running team in football. Before that, your best teams, the 78 New England Patriots, the 73 Buffalo Bills. Well, the Bills, that was O.J. Simpson, the electric company, when they really refused to throw the football. And the other team being a squad from the late 70s. What did that tell you? That we're talking about the Ravens and the Niners as throwbacks, where the Patriots and Bills, the previous record holders for most rushing yards in a season, totally different era, totally different game before the game really opened up. I mean, you're talking about 73 and 78. 73 is before modernized passing rules, which really were instituted in 78. The Mel Blunt rule where you can't physically touch a wide receiver downfield. Obviously, pass interference, totally different. But the Ravens also are such a modernized team in running the football with the quarterback and so many things being built off of the sleight of hand around Lamar Jackson and his fast, quick ability to just burst through the hole and you don't know which way he's going. For the Niners, it's much more direct and upfront of beating your man. Now, they do have a lot of cool concepts. They do have some misdirection and they do make you guess. But a lot of it is simply beating your man. And that's what the Niners did yesterday. So they're not one of the best rushing teams ever. But for this era, yeah. I mean, here's the crazy thing. The Ravens this year set the record most rushing yards in the season. Let me give you the years of the previous top 10. 78, 73, 78, 84, 75, 76, 72, 76. What does that tell you? That the greatest running teams ever all happened 40 years ago. So for the Niners to be able to do this type of thing now, while it's not going to rank historically up there, the Niners only ran this year for, I think, 2,300 yards or so. And I say only. But what it tells you is that this Niners team, for the squad that it has right now, is dominant at the line of scrimmage. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. The Niners finished with 2,300 rushing yards this season. Good for second in the NFL behind the Ravens. Our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. As we've mentioned before, whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. That's easy. William's next up. He's in Fort Worth, Texas, listening online to CBSSportsRadio.com. Good morning, Will.
DA, my man. Haven't talked to you in a while, but I still listen.
Yes, sir. Good to hear from you, man. What's going on?
Nothing much. Just feels like the overnights with you coming on so early. So kind of a little old school for me, you know, back in the day when we used to have fun on overnights.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. Good to hear from you.
Hey, so, yeah, with John Lynch, I remember you saying something about 49ers draft picks a year and a half, 2 years ago. Did you expect them to be this good this early, or did you think they'd take a little time? Because, my God, their front lines on both ends are just phenomenal. Like you said, it feels like that old school 70s, early 80s, you know, football where they're just banging your face, try to stop us if you can.
No doubt.
I just think it's crazy.
Yeah, I know. I do, too, in some ways. I think that this is early. I did not think they would be in the Super Bowl so quickly. Now, John Lynch has identified the type of player that he wants. They had the benefit of some very early high-end draft picks because they've had some down seasons. They've drafted high. That helps. But he's nailed so many of his draft picks, and he's built it with an identity. It's not like the Niners said, well, we'll take this guy from this scheme and this guy from that scheme, and maybe we'll do some offense and maybe we'll do some defense. They knew the type of guy that they wanted. They wanted a physical, tough-nosed type of team that could control the line of scrimmage, get after the passer. Look at all of the draft picks in the front seven defensively. Look at how they run the football. They knew what they wanted. They traded for Jimmy Garoppolo, but Garoppolo has not had to win games with his arm. They've only now began kind of assembling some of the skill position guys at wide receiver, trading for Sanders. The drafting of George Kittle looks brilliant right now. They just knew, and look at the type of guy that John Lynch was in his playing career. Stick his nose anywhere, hit anyone, anytime, impose your will. Played on that Buccaneers defense in 02 that was thoroughly historically dominant. That's his mold. That's his identity. Joseph's next up. He's in Houston listening on 650 to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, DA. Good morning. Hey, man, your assessment of the football teams is right on point. I think we definitely have some throwback running game back in the mix. I think Kansas City, like, flipped the script on the Titans yesterday. They were really ground and pounding on them, breaking down that defense that, you know, when they did go to the pass, it just seemed like they were only guarding nine guys. Kittle was open on 12, 13 different plays, like, wide open. Nobody was guarding him, and that's just absurd. You can't win a football game that way. I think we did get both of the best teams out of both divisions, which is good. It's going to make for a great Super Bowl. Hey, I'm really sorry that Mraz is on strike because I wanted to tell him how much he inspires me. And
Now, how does he inspire you?
Man, you know, I think he needs to do some stand-up because some of the stuff that comes out of his mouth, you can't make up. I mean, two wings per cluck, I think he said. I mean, just the random stuff, man. And he inspires me. I want to take him out for a beer really bad. I got to hang out with this guy.
Well, there's a line, though, Joseph. I think you're saying he entertains you. I don't think inspires you is the right verb there. Inspires you suggests that he's pushing you to your better self, that somehow he's encouraging you to do more than you thought you were capable of. I don't think that's the right word here. I think you're entertained by his idiocy, perhaps, his malapropisms. Yeah, that's an entertainment value. Inspirational value? Now, I don't know. If you have gone on strike yourself and Mraz is on strike today, he says that he is not going to work again until we apologize to him for making fun of him when the Yankees lost the last couple of years, now that we know that the Astros were cheaters, but we're not going to apologize. And so Mraz is now on strike. Now, in some ways, it's not quite a willful strike. It's maybe perhaps part lockout, because once he threatened to strike, we said, okay, well, now you're on strike and we'll just do your job. And so we are union busting today. But if you've gone through a strike, if you've gone through labor impasse at work, and you've had to unionize and fight for your rights, God bless. I believe in it. And good for you guys. Good for you that have fought the good fight to help out your labor relations and your working conditions. But today, this is a one-man strike. And it's only because Mraz feels the need to be important. And today, it's unfortunate, because he's realizing really quickly how unimportant he is. I mean, the show seems just fine. Pete the Body Bellotti, are we any lesser for not having Mraz today?
No, we actually are.
That's Mraz yelling in the background.
We actually are better, I think.
We're better.
Than what we have been with said producer.
Is that right?
I believe so,
in what way? We're streamlining the process here?
Yes, we're streamlining it even more. Everyone's taking on a role, a task, and I think we could do it without him.
Yeah, that's
for the majority, for long term.
That's what it feels like. I would agree with that. Rich is in San Francisco, I'm sure, celebrating here on CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Rich.
Hey, good morning.
What's going on?
I could go on in a different ways, angles, astrologically, politically, in regards to this Midwest against us on the West Coast. I'm definitely for the Niners. I want to say that.
Okay.
I want to say that.
Yeah.
I think that the energy and the power of the Bay Area here in California that is behind the Niners, which was just shown how, you know, how they devastated the Green Bay, will be shown, will be unleashed, I guess, on these Kansas City Chiefs. In relation, if we could compare how the dynamics was with the in baseball with the Kansas City Royals when they played the Giants, San Francisco Giants, in the World Series, I believe, in 2014.
Okay.
Do you remember? You definitely would know more than me. How the country was divided on who for who when the championship was going on.
The 2014 World Series, the country was divided.
Well, I'm assuming, you know, somebody chose the Giants and somebody was going for the Kansas City Royals.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's how it usually goes in almost any sporting contest, one fan base versus the other fan base.
Right. If you can make it some kind of an analogy or connection to, because it's almost the same thing now, it's just it's football, but it's same cities.
Right. No, you're right about that. Yeah. And so you want me to draw some type of parallel to the 2014 World Series because it was the same cities.
Right. Well, with historical stats.
Okay. So you'd like me to compare baseball to football using stats?
Well, the stats in, well, I mean, whether, regardless of the sport, there still is, you know, there's a division, there's divisions of people pro back then for the Royals and now for some, there must be some Niners. So, I mean, there got to be some correlation.
Okay.
I imagine. Okay. Yeah.
So you think that there's a correlation? Are you saying like nationally who people would be rooting for?
Yeah. Well, they did back then. Somebody, and to the ones who didn't care, but you know, there were numbers out there back 2014.
Numbers.
And, yeah. Well, numbers of people, you know, statistically, percentage wise, country, according to the United States. Like I said, I could go many angles. I could go astrologically. I could go politically in that. It's.
Did you say astrologically?
Astrologically as well. Yes.
And how are we breaking this?
Look.
How are we breaking this thing astrologically?
This is for Kaepernick. This is for Kaepernick.
Oh,
it was Scorpio.
Okay.
It was a Scorpio. Garoppolo's a Scorpio. This is for Kaepernick.
This is amazing. I could only imagine if I were to take a phone call from the Bay Area at 4:18 a.m. your local time, I would be talking about the zodiac signs of Jimmy Garoppolo and Colin Kaepernick. This is actually perfect.
Yeah. We won game.
Right. Okay, Rich. Well, you have a good man.
Thank you.
Good one, buddy.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
What?
So, way back when we did overnights, those were the types of phone calls we would get. The painkiller Pats, the meth head Marks, the Foxies in Canada.
Okay, how long you been on the air, D.A.?
The Bruce on his roof, that never-ending stream of people that would call in that you just could not follow their train of thought. And Rich in the Bay Area just brought us back. That is amazing. I mean, the fact that we were talking about the astrological signs of Colin Kaepernick and Jimmy Garoppolo. And I think we all remember that really divisive World Series, the Giants and Royals in 2014. Don't you remember Nation Divided?
I certainly was.
Oh, just great. Oh, we are off and running this morning on the show. Okay, so can you top that? 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. When we come back, did the Titans bail on Derrick Henry too quickly? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, you like that, big boy?
What else do you do?
I agree it's vague, and now that I'm going, I send the topics every night and morning. Look, I understand the way you're painting this broad brush that maybe I don't do a lot.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
25 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio and doing more brought to you by the Home Depot. Everything that you need to do projects smarter, faster, easier. Welcome to today's Home Depot, how doers get more done. The Chiefs. Andy Reid and company, inspired by the DA show crew during this Mirage strike, overcoming another double-digit deficit to defeat the Titans 35-24. This will be the Chiefs' first appearance in the Super Bowl in 50 years. Patrick Mahomes, 3 touchdown passes and a rushing touchdown as well. It's the Chiefs and Niners in Miami in 2 weeks. Our toll-free line is open right now. Chiefs fans, where are you at? I want to hear from you. Niners fans, where are you at? Hit me up, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. On Twitter, get at me, DA on CBS. Yesterday, the Titans led 17-7, and it was worst-case scenario for the Chiefs. Worst-case scenario, trailing by double digits in the second quarter, Mahomes not touching the football, and knowing that the Titans can run Derrick Henry down your throat. And when the Titans went in for that second score on the option pass to an offensive lineman, it felt like this was the way the Titans would win and could win. Keeping Mahomes off of the field, getting a lead, emptying their bag of tricks, and leading with Derrick Henry to salt it away. And that is the brilliance of Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes ran for more yards than anybody else on the day. 8 carries, 53 yards on the Chiefs, rather. He was the Chiefs' leading rusher to go along with 294 through the air, 3 touchdowns, and no interceptions. 4 touchdowns, no turnovers for Patrick Mahomes. And I thought that at that point in time, because the Titans weren't having much success on first down to that point in time, they bailed on Derrick Henry a little too early. I realized that once you trail by 2 scores and the Chiefs have gone up 28-17, 35-17, you really can't run Derrick Henry anymore. But Henry was a monster early in this game again. And the Chiefs did a better job adjusting and gang tackling. But I thought the Derrick Henry 19 carries yesterday, he wasn't as dominant as he had been in the previous 2 playoff games, but I still thought the Chiefs were having a tough time bringing him down. They were swarming to him. They were doing better, but he was still getting off a couple of runs. There were no big run, and that was the big thing. You know, both the Patriots and the Ravens had allowed Derrick Henry to rip off big runs. And yesterday, Henry's longest run was only 13 yards. But I did think that the Titans went away from Henry a little too soon. Look, he was their best weapon, and the play action was set up because of him. I would have kept smashing him down the Chiefs' throats until they proved that they could stop him each and every down. He was their best option every single offensive play. 855-212-4CBS on Twitter, DA on CBS. Now, Bogues, today is a day of protest for Mraz. He is sitting this one out. He has picket signs that he is holding up that you could watch on picket cam. Mm.
And they are clever. I will give him that. They are show-themed, Mirage-related. They are clever picket signs.
They're very funny.
Yes.
Very funny. If you're watching at watchda.com, you see the picket signs. Pete the Body Bilotti, can you read what that says, or is that what Bogish can read there?
I'll read it here. Not saying sorry is football food for the week.
Not saying sorry is football food for the week, W-E-A-K.
Yeah, so two things. I give him credit for spelling week correctly in this play on words. And it's not a dip. His football food of the week is not a dip for a change, right. So that's also a plus.
So Mraz, though, is now clamoring to come back.
Oh, already?
Already, yes. He heard Rich in the Bay Area and said, I need to cut that fail. I want to cut that fail. You need me to cut that fail.
Kaepernick.
Yes, and I wonder if this might be the best thing ever to happen because Mraz is now motivated to do work.
You are so sweet and innocent. There is no changing Sean Mraz for good.
Uh-huh.
There's changing him for today to get his way to get back on the show.
Uh-huh.
But he's learning no long-term lesson. He's not going to change and be motivated tomorrow.
Tomorrow
goes right back to being Sean.
He's holding up a sign that says, permission to apologize granted.
Again, the signs are well played. I will give Sean that.
Permission to apologize granted. Mm. But I think we're proving that we really don't need him.
Of course not. Of course we don't. We'd just be just fine without him.
I mean, we have somebody who's not even trained in radio.
Right.
Doing the bulk of his job right now. We have a listener named Ridgely who wanted to come in to watch the show, shadow the show. He lives in the area. I said, yeah, of course, come down. Happened that, you know, today would be a good day because we just need somebody to answer the phones.
Right.
So here's Ridgely, who has no background in radio, doing the bulk of Mraz's job.
Right, and as long as he's here until like 10:35, he will have worked a longer shift than Sean normally works as well.
All we need is a warm body here is what we're...
Basically.
So you don't think we should allow him to cross the picket line?
At 7:30? I mean, not even halfway through the strike of show number one? On one hand, I'm not surprised by the lack of commitment, despite that whole Joe Judge run through the wall kind of thing.
Yeah, right.
But on the other hand, no, we can't give in this soon.
Which is amazing because we're giving in to his strike. He wants to cross the picket line.
Right.
He wants to end his own strike, and we're still saying, nah, you know what? We don't really need you, don't really want you.
But it's also, this is your show. It is his picket line, so he could cross himself whenever he wants, but it still is the DA show, so I feel like you do have final say in this.
What's amazing is that this is picking at a tough scab for Mraz. He feels totally irrelevant.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing.
Helpless.
And irrelevant. You know, it's what he doesn't like to work very much, but at least he feels relevant because he's on the air a lot. He's now, quote unquote, a sidekick. He considers himself a personality. If he doesn't have that, what is he? What is he at all? You know? And so he's feeling as though, wow, I don't matter.
Yeah.
And that kills him.
Now, you and I have already made an edit to sound check. We've taken one clip out, put a new clip in. And when I told Pete and Ridgely of that, I hear in the back of the room from a faint voice behind a piece of oak tag, oh, I guess you didn't do a good job the first time. Gleeful that we made just a very simple effort that edit that you and I talked about as coworkers, as adults. I presented to you your option. You chose it, and we fixed it.
Yeah.
Done.
Yep.
And somehow that was an open door to Sean. Oh, see, you do miss me. You need me for sound check. No, we're good. We're still fine.
This is killing him because he can't get on the radio. And if he can't get on the radio...
What is he?
What is he?
What is he?
What is he at all?
What is he? What is he at all?
You know, this is going so well, I think we should lock him out.
Pete, is this the greatest birthday gift you've ever been given in your entire life?
It's up there. It's right there.
Yeah.
It's like one of the pinnacle... birthday gifts I've ever received. Forget any electronics. Forget any technology. Forget any trips. This is my best birthday gift of all time.
Would it top a Taz match used leotard?
I don't know about that, but maybe. It's close.
We're going to continue with your phone calls all morning long of the AFC and NFC championship games at 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. Reed Phillips, who's a long-suffering Chiefs fan, tweets, "I've been nothing but smiles and tears since last night. My fandom started at Steve DeBerg, and I've seen some really great players. I can't call, but know the Chiefs kingdom is over the moon. I haven't cried this much since 2015. And 2015, of course, was the Royals winning the World Series. So I can't wait to hear from all of you guys this morning here on the show. Andrew Bogish has your headlines. Good morning, Andrew.
DA, good morning. These headlines are sponsored by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Top 10 best plays by Patrick Mahomes. Top 10 biggest plays in Chiefs history. Top 10 touchdowns from a player whose dad was a decent middle reliever. Patrick Mahomes keeping DA, the countdown specialist, employed at NFL Network.
Mahomes moving to his left laterally, chased, holding it, and gets out of bounds and up the sideline. He's not out of bounds yet. He's at the 10, inside the 10. He dives for the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. A remarkable acrobatic scramble on a 27-yard run.
And then Mitch Holtis died on Chiefs radio. Mahomes' remarkable 27-yard burst came against the Titans defense that hadn't allowed a touchdown in the final 2 minutes of the first half all season. The score put KC ahead for good after Tennessee took a 17-7 lead. How'd he do it, Andy Reid?
He was able to take off and run with it.
Thanks, head coach. Reid is the seventh head coach to take two franchises to the Super Bowl. His 15-year gap is the second longest on the list, behind only Dick Vermeil of the Eagles, then the Rams. Now, Kyle and Mike Shanahan are the only son-father duo to reach the Super Bowl as head coaches. Kyle's Niners took apart the Packers behind Raheem Mostert.
He's just such a good person, and I mean, for him to help us as much as he has on offense, and but I can't say enough good things about Raheem.
Mostert shamed the Packer D with 220 yards and four touchdowns. Those are the second most yards in playoff history, and it's the first ever playoff game with that many yards and touchdowns. 37-20, the final count over the Packers. This will be the Niners' seventh appearance in the Super Bowl. They could join the Steelers and Patriots with six wins. As you might have heard by now, Tom Brady will be a free agent this winter. He told Westwood One over the weekend he has an open mind headed towards the open market. CBS Sports adding that Brady is prepared to meet with interested teams in March. A reminder last night that Doug McDermott is an Indiana Pacer.
75 seconds left. Brogdon to the foul line. Sabonis, open man in the corner, and he does it again. McDermott with another three, his fourth of the quarter. 18 of his season-high 24 points here in the fourth.
That's Mark Boyle on Pacers Radio. As he said, McDermott 18-21 in the final period as Indy rallied for a 115-107 win in Denver. That was the only game in the NBA last night. Today, almost everyone's in action as the league celebrates Martin Luther King Jr. Day. The Pelicans listing Zion Williamson as doubtful for their contest with the Grizzlies. But that's actually good news. The first time Zion hasn't been listed as out following October knee surgery. And this is the way the NBA wants you to do it. A slow progression from out to back on the floor, not just out and then in. Zion still scheduled to make his long-awaited debut on Wednesday against the Spurs.
This is like getting into a cold pool. No, I'm not going to go in yet.
Yeah.
No, I'm still not going to do it yet. I'm up to my waist. No, I can't go all the way in.
And then a dude comes behind, pushes you in, and you're all the way in. American teenager Coco Gauff beat Venus Williams in straight sets to start the Australian Open. American Sloane Stephens just lost in three sets. Novak Djokovic pushed into a fourth set by Jan Lennard Struff. Serena Williams, Naomi Osaka, and Roger Federer have won today. D.A.?
Thank you, Andrew. Next hour, we'll be stunned to a news. Want to get to your phone calls as well as we continue on AFC and NFC Championship Monday at 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. Robin Topeka asks, DA, how fast can we get yellow rubber bracelets made up with the, quote, stand with Mraz? It'd have to be kind of like pizza colored or something. Jeffrey tweets, I fully support Mraz in his struggle for the working man. Please apologize to him. The show makes too much sense without him. I think that's what we're realizing is that this show streamlined works well, makes sense, lots of good takes, not distracted or thrown off course by ridiculousness. Kind of feels nice.
Refreshing.
Especially on a day after two huge football games. So we'll continue with your phone calls coming up here next. Also, your best audio of the day. That includes a CBS Sports Radio host taking a not-so-subtle shot at Mraz. Plus, Tom Brady open to go elsewhere? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Little wet, little drippy, 24-7.
DA, you're a big foodie. I've seen a couple of your nomads.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
I don't know if I'm a foodie or I just really like eating food. Welcome back, DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Remember that the DA show is available on any device, anywhere, anytime. Of course, you can listen to us across the great CBS Sports Radio network. You can also listen to us on Sirius XM, channel 206. And of course, you can listen to us on your phone. Use the CBS Sports app, the radio.com app, or Apple Music. You can watch us as well at watchda.com. Michael tweets, Mraz is on strike since Friday. This is making me laugh really hard. Good luck, Mraz. You're going to need it.
I don't even have a job, Damien.
East of the Bend tweets, I think DA went to early morning hours for his own entertainment. This is a grab bag of, quote, talent calling this morning. Love these creatures. Can't make it up. John tweets, wow, that caller in the Bay Area, my brain hurts. Astrologically? Rup Deasy tweets, I think that dude wanted to know fan base comparisons and all-time records for all sports between Kansas City and San Francisco. If you got that out of that phone call, you're a better man than I. Don is next up. He's in San Diego listening to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Don.
Hey, guys, I'm a first-time caller, big fan now. You guys made me a fan of talk radio. I've been listening to your station for, you know, I would say like maybe a month and a half now, and I just want to just tip my hat to you guys and say you guys are very articulate in how you guys talk about your sports. And I played college basketball at Cal State Maritime Academy, so I always like to see guys go out there and compete. And it's really sad what's going on with baseball. I think some of those players, there's needing to be a lifetime ban going on there. You mess up with the sanctity of the game. And I think the football is doing really well, and how Patrick Mahomes is bringing his talents to the quarterback position and how he came in and got down to business really fast. So, and it's really nice to hear the enthusiasm from the callers that call in and how passionate and articulate they speak about sports. So I just had to come in and say your patience with that guy, and I think you were trying to rationalize with his parallels with two different sports, and you're trying to make sense of it. Maybe there was something he had going on there and some weird outlier statistics, but that was a doozy for the early morning.
Yeah, sure was.
I apologize to him. And,
no, don't apologize, Don. What you'll realize after listening to more than just a month and a half of this show is that we fully embrace the weird. I want more weird. I need more weird in my life. That's what the show has been built on for years. The foundational structure of the DA show is about the weirdest moments in life and in sports and in callers and in our lives. We're all bizarre creatures, us ourselves here on staff. So I love it. Don't ever apologize for weird. I need it injected into my veins. It's time for your best audio of the day.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Oh, this is so nice. Fan Fest, appropriately, for the Houston Astros this past week. Yes, Fan Fest. And here is Jose Altuve.
Believe me, in the end of the year, everything will be fine. We're going to be in the World Series again. People don't believe it. We will. You know, we will, like, we made it last year. We went one game away.
I'm too shy.
I'm just a shy boy. I cannot wait until we make the World Series again.
I'm too shy.
But at that point, I'll be too shy to even play in the game. So many eyes will be upon me. Please, do not look at me. Look away. I'm hideous.
I'm too shy.
I'm just too shy.
I mean, all of those Astros players just sound like such clowns. Him and Bregman and everybody. Oh, well, Major League Baseball did its investigation. They decided what they needed to decide. Nothing more to see here. Yes, I have a question. Did you cheat? Because your manager got fired and your GM got fired and Major League Baseball decided that you had massive cheating within your organization. Nothing to see here. Don't know what you want to hear. Yes, I'd just like to ask, why did you cheat? Here is Tom Brady open in his interview with Westwood One to changing teams.
So it's been a couple weeks, and you know, I've had a lot of time with my family the last couple weeks and just decompressing from the season and spending time with them. So I've said earlier, I'm open-minded about the process, and you know, at the same time, I'm, you know, I love playing football and I want to continue to play and do a great job. So I'm looking forward to what's ahead. Whatever the future may bring, I'll embrace it with open arms.
He is looking for the Patriots, and one of these two are trying to call the other person's bluff. He wants way more money from the Pats, and he wants a commitment that the Pats are going to go out and spend money for him at wide receiver and on the offensive line, etc. And the Pats don't want to spend market rate for him, and so they're going to be caught in this standoff this offseason. And the question is, whether Tom Brady really is ready to take market value and leave, because he'll get market value somewhere. He'll get more money somewhere than he will with the Patriots. Is he truly willing to go? And wouldn't it be interesting if in the same offseason, Tom Brady and Phillip Rivers were both playing for different organizations? And finally, if you were listening to Sunday Morning Football yesterday here on CBS Sports Radio, just before Sunday Morning Football, John Kincaid has the morning show hours here on CBS Sports Radio. And it was, you couldn't miss this. It was so clear and obvious. Kincaid was absolutely taking a shot at Mraz.
Know what's a fun thing to do this week? Check social media and watch all the Giants fans trying to convince themselves that the Jason Garrett hire as offensive coordinator is a great one. After years of saying how terrible Jason Garrett is, they're like, well, if there's a big difference between Jason Garrett as a head coach and an offensive coordinator, and I'm like, really? His own owner took the play calling responsibilities away from him because he was terrible at it. With an all-pro offensive line, the best offensive line in the NFL for over three seasons, maybe four, and they had to take the play calling duties away from Jason Garrett. But Giant fans are convincing themselves, oh, it's a great hire. You're hiring him as an offensive coordinator. It's a great hire. The guy, he just had play calling duties taken away from him a year ago to try to save his job.
That was John Kincaid right here on CBS Sports Radio, obviously taking a shot at Mraz, because Mraz had defended this hire of Jason Garrett over the weekend and caught some flack for it. And here is Kincaid obviously going after Mraz. So it's a shame that Mraz is on strike today, because he can't even respond to open criticism here on the airwaves of his tweets, of his own tweets.
I'm not on Twitter or Facebook right now.
But I have to say that I think there's a lot of people laughing at Mraz, because for years he has taken a hatchet to Jason Garrett, and now suddenly Garrett is his offensive play caller and it's the best hire ever. So a lot of people taking great glee in this, and I can see him on the other side of the glass yelling and flailing his arms about this behind Pete the Body Bellotti, but he's on strike, so we can't even open up a microphone for him. He's holding up a protest sign right now. He's holding up the protest sign, the picket line sign. What a bad day for him to have decided to go on strike. He should have decided this like in July or something, but instead he chose the Friday going into championship weekend. When we come back, is Andy Reid the feel-good story of the Super Bowl? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.